Off the Ball Breakfast.
Was I gone there completely?
No, no,
they heard.
Colin forgot his school books and needs to sit with the teacher.
Oh man, that's a great show.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
You're listening to Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show. Yeah!
Well, well, well. We are still alive. It's that interregnum between... Is it your favourite part of the year, Arthur? You were telling us before Christmas that little nubbly bit between Christmas and the return to life.
Yeah, I like normality. I like a normal schedule. I don't like when it gets all out of whack.
Well, it's all out of whack now.
I know. I don't mind the Christmas Day. I don't mind Stephen's Day. By the 27th, I'm good to go back.
All right. Well, people are sitting at home on their couch, breakfasting on leftover roses this morning, listening to us.
Can roses be leftover?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's loads of roses. I'm not a huge fan of the roses anymore.
Yeah, roses in Quality Street. Ironically named.
Right. I don't like roses.
Okay. I was going to say, do they still have them?
Yeah, they're still around. The box is a bit different roses than it was when I was a kid. Yeah.
Roses faded horribly.
Ah, no.
The box is different.
Yeah, they're still your favourites.
Roses are classic. Yeah, 100%.
I used to love the red one when I was young, but I don't know.
So they changed the colours and it doesn't matter.
Celebrations.
They've gone for like that simplistic sort of
they
effect.
Ruin
just get a bar. Just get the bar. Like, what do you want? Oh, I want
the beauty is the pick and mix element.
Because the Maltesers in the celebrations is completely different to like a bag of Maltesers, you know?
Yeah.
Not as nice, I would argue.
No.
Well, I don't know now.
A bag of Maltesers, a box of Maltesers, the Maltesers in celebrations.
That's your power ranking. Yeah. I disagree with that. The great thing about Malteser, with a cup of tea,
yeah,
throw it in. Chocolate dissolves. That's a very great feeling.
Sweet.
Your classic Maltesers, the celebration one, right? I have never met a human being who dislikes that Malteser.
Yeah, no, that's
everyone
mad,
loves
I
that Malteser.
I think you'd be on your own putting that last.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro.
Oh well, sorry. What's the order?
I quite like the novelty of the new one. I would put that first. Yeah.
All right. Novelty of it is like been out as long as you've been alive.
No, but they're not. Yeah, but it comes around. It comes around every like Christmas, you know?
And now Halloween.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah.
Chocolate is now omnipotent.
Yeah.
You know what I love about this time of year? Sorry, will you finish your chocolate pie?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
It's the only time that I go by dates and not days.
Days of the week.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Is that a clear point?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
I understand.
Yeah. In fact, I would say to you, I wouldn't even know what day of the week it is, but I'll give you a date all day.
To the point where I don't actually know what day of the week it is now.
Yeah, it's a great feeling in many ways.
Not right now.
Nobody
but
does.
But you dislike that uncertainty of what day of the week we're in. I personally enjoy the unconventional side of it.
Yeah, I'm ready to go back. But I like it. I like new. I like the start.
What are you ready to go back to?
New.
Where was
back to work, back to life.
Where was your undergrad? Reality.
Where I do it?
Yeah.
DCU.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Sorry, down the road.
I went to DCU.
I knew that, all right.
But you see, my thing was, it was a terrible time of year then.
Because you go home at Sligo.
No, not that. I know Sligo every week then. But because January was teacher training.
Oh. Oof. Every year?
Every year.
Oof. How early is that?
Oh, first thing back. Your first time back after Christmas break was teacher training. Disaster.
Yeah,
never had a more just a thought than of even going to sleep. Terrible, Jesus Christ!
I'm sorry, you were teaching English to secondary school students.
Yeah, English and religion.
Oh,
religion.
Yeah,
are you religious?
No.
Wow. Can you morally teach religion if you're not religious?
All the better.
087-9180-180.
All the better to be
teach all the religions.
Did you have an enjoyable Christmas, sir?
Amazing, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Peaceful, calm. You know, a bit. Some of the football didn't go the way I expected it to.
Some of it did.
Some of it did.
Hard to know specifically, of course, but yeah, some of it did.
How about the darts, though?
Yeah, the darts is really
sucked me in.
You see, no one has never going to fail to deliver.
No, exactly. No doubt about it.
It's really good right now.
Of course, there. Depending on when you're listening to this, the darts may not have started back again.
This is true. It's been absolutely brilliant up until this point, and we'll continue to be after this very specific point.
You had a Christmas picaresque travelling across the country?
Yeah. Yeah. I really did. That's a very true point. Yeah, I went from Dublin to Kilkenny to to Cork to Dublin.
Michael Kenny.
The brother of the wife lives in Kilkenny. And when I say that, you know, when you say a different county, this is how crazy. You can see Kilkenny from Waterford, right? In the town.
You can't hurl for them.
Right in the middle, right? And so some people are trying to claim John O'Shea as Kilkenny because of where he's from. But obviously, well, it's not true. Like, so he's Waterford. But her brother just lives like 10 minutes down the road in Kilkenny.
And he was a Waterford man, but now he's a Kilkenny man.
Married to a Kilkenny woman.
Ooh, so yeah. Who do the kids cheer for?
It's a good question.
How many kids are there?
Two.
So one of each, obviously.
One each. But then again, I don't think they share it that way, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I think he's more passionately Waterford, so maybe it would go that way.
That's because Kilkenny have been off the boil.
Do you know that rivalry, right, is very one way, like Waterford despise Kilkenny.
Yeah.
Just hate them with a vengeance. Like Kilkenny, you're like, oh.
I never think of you at all.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, look at you coming good.
So this is our time capsule episode where I'm going to throw this over to Arthur to explain exactly what we're doing.
Liz.
Oh my God, can we get a gift? Up, can we get a gift?
It's your show.
That's our first ever gift.
No, we're just picking three things.
That was so good.
It's a huge
three things from the year, the sporting year.
Yeah.
That meant something to us. For better or for worse.
Yeah, now as I
the worst is a good point actually.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to necessarily be positive. Yeah.
Welcome along, Cork Hurlers. I've entered the chat. Would you stop touching the microphones?
No, really? I like doing it because
it's the whole thing.
I'm a tactile sort.
It's crackling.
Gregarious. In a non-HR. But the microphone aspect of it, like, it's nice to... do you know what I want to do sometimes? I want to just get the mic off and hold it.
Lean back.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that, man.
Vittorio Angelino and his pal, they're very good, by the way.
Shane Todd. No?
Is what are we saying there before that?
I think.
Oh, yeah. So it doesn't necessarily have to be...
Mike Rice.
Negative.
No, yeah, okay. Positive. No, fair enough. Yeah.
Anything.
Should we tell people as well what... The surprise element of it is that we decided for the first time ever, I think, in Time Capsule history, not to reveal our picks beforehand.
Some might say that that's because we haven't made our picks up to this point, and others would suggest that no, it was a plan all along.
Well, so reading in the years, the 2025 sporting edit would be very tough from an Irish. There's lots of stuff happened.
I would make the case that it's one of the all-time great years of sport. That
I agree with you.
Because of what happened.
Could well be.
Because of the... surprise, the roller coaster, the surges of emotion, the failures, and like in unexpected sports, so many things happened. Like all of a sudden we have world-class athletes in multiple different fields.
Yeah.
Our swimmers are like young and happy to say, I don't dope and I hate everybody who in the past used to dope. And then we have some swimmers who left our Olympic team to go and join the Enhanced Games. It was just the wildest sports year that I can ever remember.
And that's like latter half of the year that you mentioned there. You know, on these things, I'd say January to April get very hard done by. Yeah. Like, was it you made the point, Matthew, earlier this month on the show? It was like Luke Littler won the World Championship this year.
Yeah.
It was the 3rd of January. Yeah. But like...
Because we were actually talking about this outside. Can you include that in in this year's one? But
yeah, yeah.
But the tournament itself would have been the 2025 World Darts Championship.
Yeah, but sure.
If you're
a big Premier League fan or whatever, a big Liverpool fan, big Premier League fan.
Yeah.
Big Liverpool fan, you know, even though half the season
is... Yeah, it's fair point, yeah.
Would you be tempted to include the NFL in Dublin, for example?
That's another thing that happened, yeah.
Interesting.
I presume you'll have, obviously, Kildare's Talchin Cup.
Yeah. Huge.
You'll have between that and you'll have Kildare's John McDonough. So that's two. I mean, you're down to one.
It ties March to
three and done.
All right, move on.
All right, I'm finished now. You can turn the rest of the show off. Won't be any good.
He really believes that too. That's the sick thing. You know, I can see and I know his eyes.
You're very
no, I just know you. I know you.
Who wants to begin?
Oh, you could hear Jojo going, wow, out there. Wow. Yeah, I'm interested, yeah. He leaned in.
Who wants to start?
You start.
No,
start.
Go ahead. There someone
you
start.
You teed it up.
Okay. Can we do it like collectively as tripart?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So you don't want to do it chronologically or anything, no?
Not really. I don't know, because I'm going to go in order of what it meant.
Because I think there could be a danger if we all went
back to front,
left the field, and then
you're starting at the peak, you're crescendoing straight off, boom.
Yeah, because people's attention span, like, they might tune off at the end of this, so we'll get all the good stuff in early. Try Parrot. Yeah, it was amazing. Just the slow-mo as well and all the highlight reels of it. And, you know, as I said at the time, it's no business belonging mid-November, you know, no man's land. The worst time of year, in my opinion, mid-November. Don't mind January. And it just didn't belong there. Sunday afternoon, the fear was already there. And he brightened up all of our days. And the days afterwards were amazing. And like to put a bit of behind the scenes in, you know, of a Sunday night, we'd be fairly busy deciding the performance rankings and all that, and deciding what goes where and all that.
Lying on the couch drinking wine, fairly busy, but go on, yeah.
And is that what you were doing?
Flicking through the NFL stuff, going, yeah, that works, yeah. No, we'll do that.
Straight from the bottle.
We're opening the kimono here, yeah. There was somebody drinking straight from the bottle outside my house the other day.
Was it you?
Walking along, taking a few steps, and then drained the bottle.
With a bottle of wine?
Yeah.
Ooh.
What time of the day was this?
It was bright outside, so
early.
December-ish.
Yeah. It's a tough time of year.
3 p.m.
Yeah.
White or red?
I think it was red.
Oh, wow.
That's easier because it won't hurt the teeth as much.
It's down.
Presuming that the white would be chilled.
Of course.
Try Parrot, of course. Yeah, so there was like no running art. We just kind of threw it out and was like, well, it's Try Parrot tomorrow morning. And it was just delirious, you know, and there was no real analysis. It was more, how did it feel? And we didn't get to probably the Wednesday when we started analysing it. So it was just magical. It was magic. It was very Irish, the goal itself as well, the long ball and the flick on, and he got there just before the goalkeeper. And you don't see that goal too often anymore at the top level of the game.
The ballet of the finish, there's nowhere else it could have done, nothing else that would have been successful, I think.
Yeah, the finish is actually like really good too, because he actually puts his foot up and brings it down.
Yeah.
As opposed to, it's not like a flick. It's more like a jab.
And to bounce it off the ground means it has much better opportunity of beating the goalkeeper as opposed to straight at the keeper. And everybody goes, oh, straight at the keeper. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago now, there was a 4-all draw and there was the opportunity at the end for...
David Brooks.
Essentially straight at the keeper. I mean, Lamont's...
Is this the header or the 1-on-1? Because he had two.
Sorry, the header. It kind of puts his... Like, Troy Parrott didn't do that. He didn't snatch at it, even though he's, like, snatching his sinew.
And I thought, Kenny was going to be the chance.
Yeah, you know? It was. And in the grand tradition of misses.
Yeah.
Do you remember... this is a very specific ask here of all of you, but do you remember what you felt when Kelleher put the ball in long? Because I remember...
Still alive.
I still thought... I remember being really positive when he put it in. I just remember thinking, I think we're going to get something from this. Because you're talking split second there.
I was actually away during that game and I was in a bar watching it down towards the back of the bar. And when Kelleher put the ball in, everyone in front of me stood up. So I actually missed the flick on.
Right.
So I jumped up and kind of then moved around and saw the goal go in. So I actually didn't really feel anything when he put it in because I couldn't see what was going on. But I think that the euphoric nature of that, I don't know about you, you would have had more kind of sporting moments than I would have had in my lifetime and in your lifetimes. But I would be keen to know whether you've experienced something where the joy and the kind of ecstasy lasted for as long as that did in the days that followed.
With Ireland?
Very good question.
Football team?
In general. In sport. Sport specifically is outside of life.
I was 11 in 88, so it didn't really mean as much. Maybe the penalty shootout victory. I was in the Gaeltacht in Coolay in 1990. I don't know. I'm kind of still feel a little bit of it, you know?
Same, yeah. I definitely do.
The ramping up of investment in the fortunes of everybody associated with the team and anybody who might at some point make the fringes of squad. I'm like, oh,
what's he doing?
Which is kind of how I felt as like a 13-year-old reading the match ratings and shoot to see the names of the Irish players and their marks out of 10 from every game that they would have.
Yeah.
It was one of the best things they did. It's how I knew Stan Collymore was sensational when he was at Southend because he would always get 9 out of 10. He's the only person ever getting 9. It's like, I feel I should sign him. But then they never did. Until it was too late.
Jeez, I'm trying to think of other contenders to that question. That is a humdinger. Probably was the longest.
Cork winning on Ireland.
Well, I was thinking that, right? But then I was like, I don't have an unbelievably strong memory of that.
Munster,
in the mid-90s.
Second Munster,
Munster
one?
Munster 06 was great. More than Munster 08.
I should say.
09 Grand Slam, actually, was incredible.
Leinster winning in 09... was the same day as my wedding, so it's hard to tell which of the things that I was.
The treble. Remember the 1999 Champions League final? I remember where I was. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That's probably the closest thing to it, actually, in terms of lateness and what it meant and all that.
Mm.
But no, I think I think Troy Parrott could be up there. It could be the one, like.
No, it's funny, profoundly affecting.
It doesn't even bring you to the World Cup. It's not even in the World Cup. It doesn't even bring you to the World Cup, but it just takes you away.
This time next year, when we haven't qualified for the World Cup, we're like, or if we have qualified for the World Cup and it goes okay, we're like, wow, that was like, it's 18 months of. And look, we've got the Euros. It's only 18 months away.
Yeah.
If they do the 2025 reading in the years, if that's edited and say Ireland don't qualify for the World Cup, it's still included, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's it.
Because it's like,
you cut in all of the
hopes
scenes.
Hopes were dashed.
Hopes were dashed. Yeah, exactly.
They never did qualify for that World Cup.
But it was just the aesthetic of the goal too, because it was very authentically Irish. You know, the long ball and the flick on and the goal. It was Germany 2002, very similar.
Fans up in the skies as well.
Thing, you know, not to bring it back, but it's funny when you're going back with the year, the John McGrath goal in the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, the long one.
Flick on.
I remember seeing that in the air, being like, that's a goal anyway. Yeah, that's definitely a goal. That was more defeatist.
Bad intention.
But this one was...
That was the second half.
That was the second half. But the other part one, when it was just scales fit. I just had a feeling it was like, they're going to score here. And I just really would think that about Ireland, you know? And I don't even know what I feel about the Portugal game, right? A few days before. Because you booked something from last Christmas, so you had a conflict that Thursday night in the Portugal game.
Oh, my God,
And then we had a conflict.
Wait, tell a story on this.
We did it. We did it together because you and I were at the Podcast Awards and you had that event.
I was there.
It was Joanne McNally.
Right? I'm sure you went live afterwards and off the ball.
Yeah, I did.
So we all have a very different, we have a collective thing, but the four of us, three different stories here of how we felt that night in Portugal. Portugal was just mad because it was kind of comfortable.
I actually have that in mind. I don't want to throw us off.
Well, go ahead.
A piece.
So obviously the Hungary one is in a moment in itself. The Hungary one is of course more kind of standout from this year. But just, I mean, yeah, I think as you say, we all have kind of different stories of how that day came about. But I had actually been kind of looking to get some form of ticket for that for a little bit of while, because I was trying to go to all the home games, you know, and managed to get a ticket for that game about an hour and a half before kickoff. Kind of risked it, like, you know, in a sense that I was transferring over a few quid that I might get no return for. But I did get the return for
it. Gouged.
It was, yeah. Well,
we've established not an actual tout.
Not a tout, because we spoke about this.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
My interpretation of a tout was wrong.
It wasn't
a tout. It was just some guy on Twitter. But I got the ticket anyway and went. But yeah, I mean, to be in the, you have to be there with everyone, like, regularly on the show. And I think like that, being there in the stadium for that, like, I mean, outside of Troy Parrott's two goals, Ronaldo being sent off in the way that it happened, everything about the game was just, it felt like a fever dream in the moment, you know? I actually think back to it, I'm kind of like, what do I remember from that game?
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, it kind of just happened. And I was like,
was that nearly as big of a cheer?
The second Parrott goal, the first Parrott goal was kind of, there was a big cheer of like, okay, oh my God, look, we're scoring. But you still kind of got that sense of,
yeah, I mean,
we've gone one
a bit early here for this, lads.
Yeah. But the second goal happened, and it happened after Portugal not really doing a whole lot. You know, we were well in the game and had a couple of chances. Chio Ogbeni hitting the post as well just before that. But the cheer from, when the referee, we kind of got a sense in the stadium when the referee was going to check the monitor that this was actually going to be happening. But I will say, I hadn't any idea what he'd done, you know? I obviously knew it was something that happened off the ball. Not
because you can't see it at the stadium because they won't show you.
Well, they just had up on screen, it was VAR check review, whatever. But the noise in the place as Ronaldo left the pitch, it's something that'll stick with me anyway. I mean, to be the amount of kids there, and they were there. It's not a kind of stereotype of, you know, young lads going wearing their Ronaldo jerseys and all this kind of thing. There was a lot of them there. And for their first and probably last experience of Ronaldo to be that is humorous in a sense, I suppose. But that day definitely makes my top three for the capsule. since I was there, you know.
Yeah, so Troy Parrott's not in it for the hat trick, or did you put the two of them in?
Well, I would put that 5-day stint in. I suppose it's a long moment. But
welcome aboard, Matthew.
If I'm picking the Portugal one, just
because you were there,
because I was there. Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's valid.
Oh, Troy Parrott for me is definitely that's in. So that's one of my three. It's not for you.
No, it wouldn't be.
Wouldn't be one for celebrating.
No, I would like. I snot. I'd find it difficult to get caught up in that general widespread euphoria. I don't know why, but it wouldn't grab me in the same way. I think a little bit with the team as well, that you'd been so burned before that it was just like it had been so bad and so kind of rinkadink that it was like
they hadn't won you back yet.
No, not really.
Even but now have they won you back?
No, like it's not like I'm not like living for March.
Fool me once, shame on you.
Like
fool me, can't get no more fooling. I ain't getting fooled again by you, my broken heart.
Like it's still a thing. Like you still watch every game. It's not disengaged with it. Yeah. But it's hard. I wouldn't have the same feeling of kind of.
You're describing a beaten dog.
No. It's just not. It's not the same. I don't relate to it necessarily in the same way.
Did you ever?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like 16 was amazing. Hoolahan, Brady. Unbelievable. Long Germany. Yeah, all those things are seminal. That was, for a long time, it was definitely the only team in a football-wise that you'd be like, really, really kind of was the priority.
That's what I was going to say. Would you have felt like a much more kind of personal attachment to that group of players as opposed to this one? Or was it...
Yeah, but that's probably an age thing as well, I guess.
Yeah, it's a fair
point.
I guess.
It's probably like 25 and 16. I just remember it being a class summer for whatever reason. It probably was grand, but it was just like, so yeah, I don't know, it's kind of just waned. I'm not sure why. I think probably a little bit is part of the job when you're kind of engaged with stuff every day. You're engaged with it every single day, not necessarily Ireland, but like thing, and it's just like you just kind of get a bit worn out. You're just like it's what, like you were saying a few days ago about the constant negativity that comes around football. But like sometimes just the actual constant talk, for better or worse, is just too much. It's just like I can't. And constant euphoria. The idea of walking into a thing is like, we need to be all really happy now. We're delighted. It's like, nah, F that, can't be at that. Like it's just not like, I just prefer it.
So that's why, that's one of the, the performative euphoria in the face of whatever. But actually the thing that I immediately went to was the videos, and the algorithm worked for me really well. Like Suitcase Fella,
yep.
I saw that like within however, I don't know how long, because I liked that. Suddenly I was getting all those celebrations videos, and it was general all over the Ireland diaspora sporting. Like, I don't know, were you away? Were you, whatever, wherever you were? But it was like, this is a shared experience of Irish people.
We went out that night in Spain into some place, and it was like a couple of older men, two men over there. They might live out there. I'm not sure, but they're from Dublin. We spent most of the night just with them, like, you know, just having a good time.
Yeah.
You know?
Baggage Boy was a huge part of it.
Baggage Boy.
And there's a great edit of the super slow-mo version of the goal to outro by M83. And that's amazing, that one. Couldn't be slower. Like, it takes a couple of minutes to get through it. But it's more like
I've actually only seen that with the sound down.
Hurry up!
Huh?
I've only seen it with the sound.
Oh, down, the so. Music is too much. Like, send you over the edge. But the it's just a celebration to go with the goal too. The fact that he's running away from his teammates.
There's so many different parts of it. Like the two lads, Jack Taylor, and I don't know.
And then someone clocks him with their knee.
Yeah.
Did it send you over the edge?
Run over the car.
No, but I remember there was.
Were you crying?
Was that Sunday afternoon? It happened Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it was.
And it was chaos when it happened. But then on the Tuesday morning, first thing in here, I watched it back. I may have watched that edit or another one similar to it. And there was like a welling up is the strongest it got. But that's saying something, like, for a Tuesday morning.
Because we were at the Olympic Federation Awards, and Reese McLennan was there, and Arthur quietly leaned in. Last time I cried at sport.
Last time I remember, but I'd cry a lot. No, I wouldn't necessarily say it was definitely a big thing, but for sport, it just gets me for whatever reason. Yeah. Don't know why.
You say you cry a lot for sport?
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh, loads. Welling up, like anything. Like, it's crazy.
Like which, Limerick 18?
Oh, well, that's given, but like far less things I'm attached to than that. Like I
what's the least attached thing that made you cry?
That's an unbelievable question.
I'll think about it. I'll figure that out.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. No. Right on the surface all the time.
Would you be like that?
Not really.
You wouldn't be wailing like that. You'd just be like, but I'd be constantly like that. I don't know what it is. I don't know, maybe some sort of emotional trauma there. But
there's it's clocking into something that we probably won't get into.
Dying to get out.
No, you should definitely get into it. That's the whole point of Christmas.
The athlete who's helped by his dad over the line in the Olympics. Yeah, the Olympics.
Is it 84? Or,
I don't know, it's more recent.
It was Barcelona, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was furious, because he didn't get to finish then.
He didn't get DNF.
Sorry, pal.
Olympics in general are probably the closest that would do it to me. There's something else that did it to me.
I would say.
I remember Goran Ivanisevic 2001.
Oh, yeah?
Wanting him to win so much as a young fella. I remember crying during that, but like the start of the fifth set. And then he was crying at match point. He had to wipe it. It's great commentary about it. He's wiping away his tears as he serves for the championship because he was so desperate to win it. That's pretty magical.
That game as well. Yeah, I remember that so vividly. Mm-hmm. Was there something unusual about that? Did that go to the Monday or something?
Yeah, exactly. Because there's no roof. So it would never happen now, but it was People's Monday, so the tickets were open to the public.
Yeah.
So it was like a Davis Cup game. So there was like the yellow of Australia and the red and white of Croatia. Yeah.
All right.
And Rafter never won Wimbledon in the end. But
did he not? No. If you put a gun to my head, I would have said, Wimbledon champion Pat Rafter.
He lost the year before to
Did he win a US Open, though?
Yeah, US Open.
Okay,
so he's
amazing.
That was the one, probably, yeah.
It's a long time ago now. Your tears have dried.
24 years. And I cried with Mendieta a year later. Mendieta scored the penalty. Was bobbled down the middle over Shea Gibbons' legs.
Cried pain.
That was anguish. But I cried in ecstasy the year before.
Oh, it's never the pain.
No, never.
No, just that was the only pain.
Always somebody achieving something that I thought that they weren't going to get.
It's achievement for sure. It's definitely the world of...
It's actually generally not the things I'm connected to. Like, it's not Villa or Ireland or Kildare or the Antrim Hurlers. It's like, it's individuals. Anyway. Right, sorry, that was a digression.
Yeah.
You were refusing Troy Parrott, so what have you got?
Along the very common line, obviously McIlroy. I still think that was one of the greatest sporting nights that I'll ever witness. Like, it's just for the culmination of so many things to come right, for it to be that major that he had to win. I think it's one of those perfect things where if you change anything, it's not quite as good. It was the perfect kind of culmination of it all.
Like, even if it's the Open at his home in Portrush, right, which isn't his home. No, for all the Golf Weekly guys are around. Oh, he said it was... Okay, fair enough, right? But it's home, right?
Yeah.
Even it would have been amazing.
Yeah.
But because the thing had been asked so often.
Yeah.
Every single conversation since he did the third one was like, oh, the Grand Slam. Remember the time you melted down at the Masters? If you hadn't melted down, you'd already have it done. And you're prone to now meltdown there, Rory, aren't you?
And then the fact that he did melt down again and still won.
He was
multiple times.
He was four ahead after the 12th on that Sunday, and I remember he was on the 13th, and I because it's obviously a Sunday night and we have the show first thing, and I was thinking I'll go to bed now. I literally stood up to go to bed and watch one last approach on the 13th, and from there it was carnage.
Yeah, it's definitely the latest I've stayed up before coming in.
And then it was the 15th was the shot of his life, the eagle set it up.
Oh yeah,
ridiculous stuff. Yeah.
And then when it goes to a playoff, and then Justin Rose
came from nowhere.
Big part to play in that.
Started so well and then drifted back into the pack and then just surged on the last day and found himself in a playoff. Another man who's gotten so close so many times.
It was everything, because it's like you watch him all the time, obviously. He's just because he's so good, he's so often the primary point of Irish interest in those competitions. And you're just so frequently kind of not let down by him, strong word, but you're like just disappointed, because you're like, it becomes apparent on the Saturday or whatever, it's like, he's gone out of this, so you know you're watching without him. And just for it to kind of the way he came into it, because the Thursday was a disaster for him, wasn't it? And he rallied. Am I remembering that? Because I remember obviously John one time before a poor prediction, but he obviously, I think he said after on the Friday morning with us, like that it was like effectively he may as well go home, which is, you know, it happens everyone. But he
I think he was grand until it was like a double bogey and a bogey in the last
something
on the 18th. in regular play, he had on the Sunday, he had a chance to win it. But so the Thursday, yeah, it was terrible and it got better. And then he was amazing on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And the playoff would have been avoided. So on the 18th, he went into the bunker. But then his recovery from the bunker was incredible. And then he had a six-footer to win the Masters before any playoff. And I remember him missing that and being personally crestfallen because it was like, when are we going to get to go to bed? There's another hour here of this.
Well, I just remember the night was so good and you having to stay up. And it's like, well, I got to see him get the jacket.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're going right to the bitter end here.
Through.
But it was just, I don't know what it is. It's the fact that it's golf as well, like it's so relatively slow moving.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was kind of I was in so many conversations. You're in the room, you're talking to people in the room, but you're also talking to people on the phone. You're talking to, because it's so moving that just like there's a bit of time to breathe in each shot.
Even they do it so well in that they rotate between all the shots when everyone's playing at the time. But then you get to the playoff and you're actually watching them travel on the bogey up to the next shot. It's like okay, right, let me get on to someone here and see what they're thinking. What it is he going to
advertise me, not a Rolex?
I know it was an amazing moment. And then even like, I mean, I don't know if it's in anyone's list or anything, but like the Irish Open as well, like that was an incredible moment too. Like all the kids, I mean, some of the photos and the videos from the background of them nailing the eagle to get into the playoff are incredible.
Like, and then he did it at the end of the year in Dubai as well, and then just couldn't seal the deal in the playoff. But like even the bit where he's like, oh my god, look at this. He's like a heritage act playing the hits where it's like, I'm going to eagle the last force of playoff. Well, okay, you can do that. I think the thing about the Irish Open was that actually it was a signifier that his game wasn't just going to collapse now that he was finished. And he's like, okay, I'm actually...
Yeah, because he had a lull after completed the Masters there and everyone was kind of like, oh, his motivation's gone or whatever.
Yeah, and then...
back and did that, and then obviously the Ryder Cup.
The Masters immediate aftermath, I wonder if he could have that back, would he do it differently? Because he didn't seem to enjoy himself at all. Went straight back to work. I think his first outing was with Shane Lowry and that was a bit of crack. And then after that, remember he got real antsy and defensive with the media and he fell out with them for a while.
Big row with the media.
Yeah. This feels like a lifetime ago, but I remember at the time wishing on his behalf that he enjoyed this a lot more.
So he's having a good week now in between Christmas and New Year's.
But as the year went on, it was amazing. Yeah. You know, Irish Open, Ryder Cup.
He's watching it on repeat.
Yeah.
See, that's the good thing about this. You can just flick that on now if you want. You'll be able to find that final day.
You have a little bit of
final 3 hours.
Yeah.
And
would you be re-watchers? Of stuff, would you rewatch sporting occasions?
I tend not to. No,
yeah,
not overly.
I think COVID ruined it for me a bit because I would have done a good bit of it then.
Sure, then, yeah.
Having said that, I have quite enjoyed it when I've done it, but it's a conscious effort to go, will I watch this again?
Mm. I feel like you're a rewatcher, no?
Well, I'd rewatch highlights,
just
not full things. Not
I'd rewatch a fight in its entirety.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Yeah,
a fight in its entirety. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
MMA and boxing.
I'm always very impressed with people who will they can't see a match for whatever reason and then they will record it and watch the entire thing back.
I can do that.
A lot of people do that.
I can do that with a fight purely because of the time of the night it's at. I might just not be able to stay up and I'll ignore any kind of media and then watch it. But
I can do that with the game I've been to, no problems. In fact, I would tend to do
quite
that.
Enjoy that. Yeah, I like that. You'd get a different perspective on it. I think it's amazing as well when you're...
My wife is like, what? You were at this fucking game and now... no way.
Yeah, but you're standing in a stadium is completely different.
Exactly. You're going to hear what they're saying.
No, people don't get it. They don't get it.
Well, did anyone else have Rory?
Oh, yeah. How many am I allowed?
3. Well, you've not picked anything.
Well, I've got the 5 days.
Either.
I intentionally left him out just to have something to kind of fire it up a bit.
Yeah,
I wasn't important. You don't rate it. That's fine. That's all.
Yeah,
and I've got Rory.
You don't rate it.
It's going to be very boring for all the same.
I have the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I have Ryder Cup Sunday.
Yeah, that was
specifically.
Amazing. Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah. It slowly started creeping back into.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable. Scoreboard was a bit like take me out. Like it was like all red, and it was like good. Thank God for Ludvig Åberg.
Yeah,
he got the win
under the radar.
I had buddies up because that was the same weekend as the NFL in Dublin.
It was the same day.
Same day. And two of the lads at home came up to go to it and they were going to go home that evening. And so I watched the Ryder Cup and sure, it was all a bit of fun at the start because Europe was so far ahead, historically far ahead going into the singles on Sunday. And then we were laughing and joking at the start. Fair play to America. They finally won one. Good for Keegan Bradley. And I was like, oh, Oh. Oh. And if it wasn't for Shane Lowry, like... If Shane Lowry misses, like, America, it's the greatest comeback of all time, and it's definitely one of the biggest capitulations.
I think as well the fact that America were bitching and whining about that. Oh, the injured player, he should lose his point. That's not fair. Why is that a half? I don't believe... That's why I thought these rules are stupid. I'm like, yes, they are. Amazing. And you're getting punished for being here. Oh, amazing. Twist it.
God, about that.
Hovland, yeah.
Yeah. And Roy McIlroy shattered playing Scottie Scheffler, who had a disastrous weekend by his standards. And then and Keegan Bradley subsequently talking about if you'll ever get over it, what happens. But like earlier in the year, Bradley might have been playing the Ryder Cup because he was good enough to actually play in the team. So it was all a bit ambiguous about what they were going to do. They made a bollocks of planning the course because it's on their watch and they didn't do it right. And then the whole thing about the incorrect player was teeing off based on range and it was their individual caddies that spotted that and it wasn't the captain's.
Like the statistically worst partnership you could have put out for.
Yeah. Yeah, the 132nd of 132 possibilities.
Which of the Molinaris turned out as like the Moneyball guru in the new Billy Beane?
I think
It's like, what was the guy who set up the.
Jonah Hill, like?
No, we had him on. What was his name?
Jonah Hill.
What's the whole movement called?
Sabermetrics.
Sabermetrics. Who invented it?
It's not Quinn, is it? It's something.
We had him on a couple of times. I actually met him at the Web Summit. But that guy Molinari is the. Anyway.
Yeah, but Europe had it all taken care of. Like, their preparation was second to none.
Zola was there.
America.
Zola. Gianfranco Zola wandering around driving cars.
America's wasn't, and yet, in spite of themselves, they nearly won it at the end.
And then it's coming here next. I know it's controversial and. Bill James.
Pork and Beans Company he worked at. That was remarkable because the lads left when Europe won. So they left for Cork at 12:30 Monday morning to go down to Cork.
Because they
worked the next day.
Oh, right. Because
the plan was for them to go home after the NFL. I'll watch a bit of Ryder Cup. And that's how quickly you turned around.
Right.
It was gradual and then it was sudden.
And then you were delighted that you had a crowd to watch it with.
Oh, well, that was class, yeah.
Mm. But also, it's time for you to go because I have to go work.
Yeah, well, it was like, calm down, America. Or come on, Europe.
I had a very similar thing. A couple of my mates had come up to go and watch the NFL as well. And I was working that day here on the Sunday and I met them afterwards to watch a bit of the golf. And obviously, I was in here the next morning, but we were in a bar somewhere and... There was a lot of Americans there as well. Obviously, you have to rein over for the NFL as well. So the atmosphere was just,
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah, I know. It was, but they were. But to be fair, a lot of them were kind of like, oh, we're watching the golf, but like we're American, so we're rooting for America, but we don't really care what's. But
yeah.
That sort of way, like, yeah.
I mean, come on. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter, right? Like, it's great, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
We barely remembered it at this time. The American football had been like such a long time coming. I ended up getting tickets. Lower Hogan brought my eldest, and after about 12 minutes of it being grand so far, the best touchdown had been called back for.
Yeah. That took a while, did it?
Penalty flag, and I was fairly obvious. It didn't like not as bad as a TMO.
Yeah.
And then I went out to get some food, and the food took ages. It was like they had...
They ran out of something, didn't
they? The Americans came and ate at the stadium. It wasn't like the Irish who were like, I'm not going to eat at the stadium. Why would I do that? It's too expensive and it's not very good. And just as I got back, I see DK Metcalf running towards me and cutting up field. I'm like, oh shit, something. And then the crowd's like, ah! So I just caught the end of the one great play in the game, which was a touchdown.
Were you with fellow fans? Did you go with people that are also followers of the NFL?
I happened to be in the same row as Tomás Quinn and his family.
Oh yeah.
So it was.
So you were in good company.
Yeah, and there was a very friendly Steelers fans all around us. It was a Steelers home game essentially, even though it wasn't supposed to be. I thought it was class, but it's not on my list.
All
so
right.
I was just telling you that.
Did they come around with the hot dogs? Did they do that?
I don't.
Pretzel guys.
There was definitely there was beer. I think if
peanuts.
You pass it across the line.
But the 15-18 minutes that I spent trying to get the food, it's Like, nearly missed the touchdown.
Was it the actual, was it just the lack of staff?
I don't know what had happened. It looked like the electricity had gone off or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember hearing that, yeah. So anyway, it's not in your list?
No.
Okay. What is?
The All-Ireland hurling final.
Of course.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that's true. I've rarely seen you happier. That is true.
Rage bin.
I was at the game with my mum and we had...
Oh, emotion. Here we go now.
Tickets on the 21 heading into the canal end, which was where all the goals were scored, where all the action was, where, like, Cork's goal in the first half was class.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was absolutely brilliant.
Well, at the end of the half.
Another one of those things that, like, gets just buried in the, sure, it doesn't matter, did it? Yeah. But in his highlights reel, if they win one eventually when he retires, they'll be like, look at this All-Ireland final performance.
Yeah.
But then the second half unfolded right in front of us. I was like, this is incredible. And honestly, it's as good a second half performance. I was there the day that Offaly beat Limerick, and that was a sensational second half performance. And I was like, wow. Kind of, it was as good as Kilkenny that first half against Waterford when they didn't remember the day they didn't have a wide until the 67th minute.
You just bamboozled them.
TJ's a sub and comes off the bench and is brilliant. And it's like, still, you know, still didn't deserve to be in the team because the starting team was so good. And I realise this is heartbreaking for you, but there is another side to this where the Tipperary story is remarkable. As Tommy Walsh said back a couple of weeks ago now, Liam Cowell was getting asked by the local media, do you think you're the man for the job? Like, do you think I'm the right man for the job? What do you think? And then he's like, then they were making peace afterwards. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem like, like even their dead-eye free-taker, should he actually be on the freeze in the final? I'm not sure about that. Should he be playing? Should you start him? Should you bring him off the bench just to make sure that he actually, you know, doesn't have to go through the first 10 minutes?
And get sent off.
Because they're going to be winding him up. And he's like, no, I'm going to score a goal. Was it a goal in 13?
Stitches a penalty, yeah.
13, yeah.
Like,
outrageous. Outrageous.
Yeah. Like, it's a stunning achievement. Whatever about the fall and all the stuff that happened afterwards,
yeah.
From Cork's perspective, like, that is one of the great All-Ireland victories for Tip.
I think as well, I know you kind of assumed in the aftermath that it was wind-up, but it was so unexpected as well. I know in hindsight, maybe everyone's kind of a bit foolish about it, but like I make no bones about the fact I did not for a second think they could win that game.
No.
Not for a second. And maybe it took whatever systems failure there was, where it's like you almost have a team that just stops playing. That's what it took. But like it was, I could not believe what I was watching. Could not believe it.
And they were so good. They were really good.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever get beyond the point of like the fact though that like whatever it was, Cork scored 2 points in the second half.
Yeah, well,
I don't think that's all Tipperary's doing. I don't think Tipperary are that dominant a team that they can shut someone down like Cork all of a sudden and out of nowhere. Nobody sees it coming. Nobody has any idea that this is even possible. I don't think that's, I think we're kind of, it's a little bit too results biased to think that it's like, oh, that's because they're such a good tactic.
No, but I think the performance was so good.
It was, but like one team didn't show up. Do you know that kind of way? Like, and it's a little bit like that Kilkenny Waterford thing. It's like, that wasn't a true reflection of Waterford either.
Well, that Waterford team were totally over the hill.
Yeah, and well, maybe that's happened this time as well. Maybe that's what happened with Cork. Maybe it's a case that they had their chance and that's gone. But like, it's still a case of like,
I guess the age profile of the Waterford team was that they were,
yeah.
And they had a collapse from the very start. Whereas actually, the thing that makes this so compelling is that Cork played all right in that first half.
Yeah, I do get.
Sorry, I suppose I would give credit to Tip for the quality of their performance. I think that we should, and I just think the quality was so overwhelming. Like maybe they never play that well again. That's possible, right? Sometimes these things happen where a team puts in one of those smash. It happens a lot in American football where a team comes, and if you take out the great quarterbacks of Mahomes and Brady, every other season, somebody just come and put four games together and splatter teams. And the fact that they play really well and people don't go, oh, the opposition were shit. Like, it's like that is that season. They are the 1982, whatever it was, the 86 Bears. Like, they were never the same again, right? But like, the 2025 Tip team, they stand in comparison with all the other great Tip teams.
Ooh, I wouldn't go that far.
No, you wouldn't, yeah. But the All-Ireland win is like,
yeah, but that's not.
Maybe the sweetest of them all was Nicky. Nicky.
That's too simplistic, though.
I'm a simple man, Arthur.
Every All-Ireland win isn't equal.
That's what you say.
I just
well, Limerick's third and fourth weren't equal to the first, sure, but this one for Tip, who knows what it means or what it signifies. And Nicky was the week before on with us going, oh no, 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 I was immediately after the semi-final.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is good now. I'm interested in this. Yeah. Something's happening here. Anyway.
Well, that's it. I know
it's on my list. You can't take it off.
Seamus Flanagan as well beforehand when he was on with us, but definitely Tip and Cork, but was kind of like, oh, I'd love to be in that Tipperary dressing.
Yeah, you don't have to lose.
I'd love to be on that Tipperary side now. Yeah. I wouldn't put it down as a classic. It wouldn't be in mine. It was like, it was an amazing thing, but like, it wasn't a great game or anything. Like, it was...
I mean, it was when you were there. It was great. It was like the ebb and flow of that, like, Corker hammering them at 6 points up at half time, and you're like, oh, this could get out of the way. This could get away, you know?
They weren't hammering them.
No, they weren't. They were getting overwhelmed in the hooks, tackle, and blocking, and the... I know what you mean. And that desire. But there was like...
No, Cork fans saw it coming.
Tipperary were...
Half time in the concourse, Cork Park.
Yeah, you did say that. You were saying that, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, I don't like the look of this. And then the free was missed. So it was coming in the post.
Well, Tipperary were missing an awful lot in the first half. As in wides, like.
Yeah.
They had an awful lot of shots that they weren't converting. And the big scoreboard.
They should have done a parade. They should have done a homecoming.
Yeah. Do you think so? You're strong on that?
Yeah, and they should have quashed that rumour. They should have come out and said it because it grew legs that was unnecessary. There's a fine line between ignoring the bollocks and then actually addressing something that's going to be reputationally damaging. And it veered too much in the latter. It was a massive pylon in Cork for the days after, and they didn't come out strong enough, in my opinion. And it was left to the Cork people to defend them, not knowing the full story. Subsequently, Pat Horgan said, I was in a pub on Tuesday with one of the lads, I think it was Decky Dalton, and someone came over and said, see this, you've all fallen out. And they were like, that's bollocks, that didn't happen. But nobody came out, and Pat Ryan, that was it. And that was another sad thing as well. I thought he should have gone one more time.
Yeah.
Because it was 2 years in a row, two finals in a row, and
did win the Munster this year.
The other thing as well, it just goes to show how seriously we take the Munster Championship and how fiercely we debated it. And then Cork, 20 days after getting hammered by Limerick, beat Limerick in the Munster final, and go back to Moneyball. It was like, if you lose the last game of the season, nobody gives a shit. And that's what it felt like with Cork. And yet the Munster Championship will come around again next year and we'll be wet into it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if
maybe
they would have been better off losing in the semi-final. It would have been appreciated more in the Munster final, but the way that they lost the All-Ireland final supersedes everything that went before it, and it shouldn't, but human emotion dictates over objectivity.
Think if the Dubs had beaten them in the semi-final, there wouldn't have been it would have been appreciated.
They lost a semi-final. It doesn't really matter what version of which team to lose against semi-final, but the way they lost the final, they were 6 points up at half-time playing poorly. And they capitulated in the second half. And every single person associated with that team will have to live with it forever.
Yeah.
And two of the most prominent people have walked away now. And so that is their last dance.
Their last act.
Yeah. And their last dance is a slow dance.
Getting pulled off the floor.
Yeah, he's getting
guilty
thrown.
Feet have got no rhythm.
Yeah.
You brought the tone down there.
Yeah. But
Him.
Right, the selection. He did, yeah.
But the national anthem is blaring and the lights have come on.
You were
the floor is sticky with booze and puke.
Yeah,
and Tipperary are celebrating in the corner.
Yeah, it was nice to see you so happy.
You're delighted for me.
Happy for you, yeah. All right, so that's
running short-ish on time here.
Okay, all right. So we have one each, do we?
How many does everyone have?
I pick my three.
I have two.
All right, I have one pick, but I can rattle through.
Rory Parrott.
I have two left, but one's very quick. Yeah.
Okay, you two go ahead. So
you fire ahead there.
Well, it's on a similar tone. I've just picked David Clifford. Just for the year that was. Yeah. I think it was only the second time I'd seen him in person this year in the semi final.
Okay.
And
final is Tyrone.
Yeah.
Quarterfinals Armagh, semi-finals Tyrone.
And I just don't, a little bit like what you're saying when you're there. It's like, you know he is anyway, but it's just, it's a strange thing to be living through a moment where you're like, this is going to be the best guy I ever see. Like, I don't know, whatever, but his status is standing. And it's just like, it's just, when you're watching, it's just, it's rare you come across someone in sport who's doing things that you can't even really countenance how they're doing it. You've never seen people do it before. The way he just moves, the way he shoots, the way he makes the game look so straightforward for him.
Mm, yeah.
And his movement and just everything about him is just like, I didn't know this. It's like the Messi thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know people could do this.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a privilege kind
of. I don't see him as mythical or anything mysterious. He's right in front of us. David came on with us the day after Oasis earlier this year.
Yes, yes.
And he was just like your run-of-the-mill inter-county player in that. He was very good,
I think that adds
gave us loads, but he wasn't talking like he's a great, past be the greatest player of all time. Like,
I think that adds to it, though, in a way as well. Like, the Messi thing, you're like, we don't know anything about this guy. But I know, I'm not saying we know loads about David Clifford, but he just does seem like...
Not too keen on tax, Messi, we know that.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's true. I was going to say David Clifford, isn't it? Oh.
Yeah.
No, but you wouldn't
be either.
He's just very down to earth, and he's like, well, there's no real mystery. I'm just... he never talks about himself, and he can't really explain why he's so good, and just like, all right, not more to say about this.
Very humble guy.
When we had Tommy Walsh on just recently, he did talk about watching Clifford and the joy of it and how the new rules have had an impact. And it is true. It's like if you were to build a prototype footballer who was able to exploit the new rules, it would be able to kick two pointers, able to win their own ball, able to leap high like a leaping salmon over everybody and catch the ball, able to kick the ball perfectly for somebody else, and also then able to find a symbiotic relationship with somebody on the team to create that space and freedom for him. And his brother's performances from the time that he came back into the team after his injury were outrageous.
Yeah,
and David was even better.
Yeah,
like it is all-time greatness that we're watching, and everybody should enjoy that flow state that he was in from the Cavan game on.
Yeah, do you know the closest thing, and it's a strange thing with football because it kind of works closer to basketball in a sense, but you know when you're watching all those things in The Last Dance and they package together all the things of Jordan and he's like,
yes,
just turn it on when it needs to be most, and that's the closest kind of thing I can liken it to, where you're like, it's obviously a little bit slower moving, but for those, especially the quarterfinal, semi-final, final, and you're like, this guy's just like, he will decide what happens here. For whatever way it's working out, he's going to decide what happens.
I know after the quarterfinal I came in and said this is the birth of a super team, and you've scoffed.
Well, it's not scoffing. It's not.
It was.
But he was as brilliant last year as he is this year. It will depend on him. It's a super team. If he stays fit and he stays thing, they can do anything. Take him out of the equation. It's a super player. He is the difference maker, though. I'm adamant on that.
Put him
in any team and he will elevate that team to the same point.
I suppose my point is that they have a supporting cast of people who are at least as good as Scottie Pippen and probably better. In that the emergence of Joe O'Connor, the speed they have in the team.
Yeah, Joe O'Connor came this year kind of out of nowhere, out of the blue.
Well,
players go as quickly.
Well, he had injury. He has now reached a level, and they've added Kieran Donaghy to the backroom team. You know, I just think that, so for me, the story of the year is Clifford hitting his peak, but finally having the supporting cast who are as good enough.
Do you know what the funny thing is, though? We've no idea if to speak.
Yeah.
Well, I think that
maybe
there's something higher than this. I don't know what it would be.
He wants to retain it, not that. There's other things he wants to do.
Now that we didn't know was reachable.
It's like,
I mean, can he go for it? What does it look like? We don't know.
But how many can they win? You know, how many can he win? How many can spearhead?
Do you want to give Hostages to Fortune? Oh, that's next.
Let me ask you this. In your lifetime, from your first memory of watching games, is he the best you've ever seen?
Yeah. And this year was the cementing of that. Because I do think the new rules actually have allowed us not to have six players around him and another nine players, including the goalkeeper, back in clogging up the area. So they've been massively successful. And if you were, again, to design the rules to make the best players have some sense of freedom. But I think he's a combination of everything. Uh-huh. Like, he could play midfield and do everything the Fenton did if he wanted to.
Right.
He could do what Jack O'Shea did if he wanted to, but he's so valuable closer to the goal that it's a cross between Fenton and Gooch. Like, he's got everything they have. And then just the wingspan and the iconic way he kicks.
Incidentally. Yeah.
And holds the ball. The one hand.
Perfect.
The ushering of people.
Yeah, the celebration.
Yeah.
How much he loves it. It's just, he's perfect. He's absolutely perfect.
To go with it. Who's the starter you've seen?
I was just going to ask that.
Good question. I don't know. The best and the favourite are different, right?
Yeah.
And they change all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
I played against Sean Ogue for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He trampled on me.
Yeah.
I caught a ball.
Brilliant. What age?
I was in college, so...
Oh, Jesus. I thought this was like a media charity. Fully formed.
I come off the bench. They were very desperate and hadn't actually seen me hurdle, so they thought that maybe...
From background.
It was... we were playing DCU out in Santry, and I caught a ball and just splat. like a car accident lying there.
That is amazing.
No, I think I held on to it until eventually the referee was like, son,
you can't just lay down. What do
you, son?
I'm sorry for your trouble here, but like the game has to continue on.
How far are you out from?
So I he's like, obviously,
I'm getting him.
But one of my favourites ever. And Tommy, like Tommy's.
Oh, yeah?
Tommy's outrageous.
Tommy was it?
Yeah. But then you go and like Tony Kelly, there's a messy element to the goal
in the All Ireland final, yeah.
But he's been Tony can do what Joe Cannon could do, is stick the ball down on either sideline when the game is on the line. A Munster final he drew a Munster final from the sideline with
at like a ludicrous angle.
That's the most difficult one, is not to win it, it's the draw. It's the one that like the Dan Carter would always be like, it's not kick to win it, it's kick to draw, because that's because otherwise you're the loser. Everybody's like, oh, you missed kick to win. It's the team. Tony Kelly is no problem. Boom, bang.
Yeah.
And I remember we had him on when Ballier were in the middle of a winter run. He was like, I love this winter hurling. It's just a different. Yeah. The air feels different. Mm. Like, and I love that. Yeah. I was like, it's like Tommy. I just love playing games. So
yeah.
I don't know. The best. It's so difficult.
It is.
I think it's impossible.
But it wasn't difficult for football. That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean. Like Connolly was sensational to watch, but I think
love watching him, but I don't think he fulfilled what he could have done.
No, and I clearly again, new rules, who knows what? Like Connolly could do it left foot and right foot as well, and
some of the boys, their highlights packages.
And he played in a much better team most of the way along. So, but I think that's about happening. TJ Carey, unbelievable.
I know.
There's Shefflin. In the last few years, you've Keane Lynch. You've
Keane all Lynch these boys like scoring that point.
I never got to see the full length of Brian Corcoran, but I remember the excitement around when he did that on his knees.
Yeah.
And like, geez, this guy must have been unbelievable the way people are talking about him. I know there was a bigger story there and everything, but like all these boys, like
Corcoran as a defender.
Yeah,
was actually better.
He was before my time, but sure, it's endless. It's funny you say that, because that's a really good point. I have no doubt about Clifford of all the people I've seen.
Yeah,
but I could not pick a hurler. Couldn't do it. There's no one.
Like from talking to Dermot Ling, Tommy Walsh's ability to do things, it's something you appreciate more as time goes on, and so that kind of elevates his.
It wasn't just stopping the opposition.
No, Tommy won an All-Star in every line.
I don't think a full forward.
Is it a corner forward?
I don't think so. I think I could be wrong, but
I thought it was the midfield he had.
I thought he went up as far as the midfield.
We
need to look that up.
Forward line.
I thought he would. No, maybe I'm wrong.
I think he was in the forwards.
I don't know. I think he won a half forward one.
All right.
I could be wrong, but I think that is true. But I think he's definitely the most varied positions in terms of he's won it in five or six different positions. All-Stars, which is... But then you say, people overlook then Shefflin, because it's just kind of the passé answer. But it's like, Jesus, this guy was as clutch as anyone.
He was. And I think Shefflin is in the Roy Keane element of bending the game to his will.
Yeah.
And everybody underappreciates their skill set because they were such... Yeah. Larger, outsized characters in it. I don't know if I'd ever say Roy Keane is the best footballer I've ever seen, even though he should be in the conversation. And it's a little bit the same.
Yeah,
like, it's such a question. Always comes back to your bit, Colm. How they make you feel? Mm-hmm. There's a thicket of hurls, and someone comes down with the ball in their hand, and they're gone before everybody realizes who it is, and that's Tommy Walsh. And you're like, there's nothing better.
Yeah,
like. That's our equivalent of the Hail Mary, except there's one every 15 minutes in hurling.
There is. It's
left cornerback, right half back, left half back, midfield, left half forward.
Jesus Christ.
That's insanity, isn't it?
He's
the most unassuming guy.
So yeah, the only one
who's just like
he talks like he barely played the game.
You do a team of the millennium, whatever, or team of the century, he's in it. He's in it.
There's not a fear of him putting himself in his own one either.
You've two to go.
I have two to go. I can tag along to the end of that Kerry chat. I put in their blitz of Armagh there at the start of the second half. In Croke Park.
15 minutes, wasn't it?
15 minutes, yeah. And I was at that one as well, a bit of a recurring theme from the Troy Parrott one.
Like you get about a bit, don't you?
Yeah, no, I like. I've been living in Dublin for the first time, so I just start going to stuff, you know, and
right thing to do.
Yeah, and it's I'm glad I did, but that 15 minutes, it was an absolute picture as well. It was up in the skies, like, and the sun was split of stones and everything about it. Yeah, because they're not flowing out of traps. They were playing quite well, and then they just decimated the kick out. Paddy Clifford was absolutely outrageous, and I'd actually been down to watch Kerry play Meath in the last. Of the round robin.
Oh, you were working on it.
Yeah.
That was the one that wasn't televised anywhere.
It wasn't. So I felt even more privileged to be there.
Yeah.
And like, it wasn't Kerry's 15 that went on to win the All Ireland, but like David Clifford was playing. He was playing that game, and like he played okay, all things considered, considering the supporting cast wasn't there.
Paddy were. I think it was 4 or 5.
I don't think Sean O'Shea played either.
Okay.
I think he was pulled out late, but. He was named and then didn't play or whatever it was. But to see, from what I watched that day, against the Meath side, obviously went on to prove how good they were, like, you know. But from what from what I watched against Armagh and what I watched against Meath was night and day. And I mean, we've spoken all about Clifford, I won't wax lyrical anymore, but that was my second pick. And that was, I don't know if I've seen a period of domination in GA like that. I mean, go back to Tipperary Cork maybe, but I don't think it was. fully at the on Armagh's kind of play.
Oh, they were sensational. Yeah, were we at that game?
Don't think so. Kerry Armagh.
Yeah,
don't think so.
The same day as me. Galway.
I definitely went, but that was outrageous. So that was Joe Connor smashing their kick out and brutalising.
Yeah.
And then he continued to do it.
Do you remember we had Ethan Rafferty on the show?
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. Yeah.
But now in hindsight, I was like, what happened there? And he was, I don't know. Is it PTSD looking into the middle distance? I don't know.
Yeah, like our man, like, notorious for their kickouts, because Ethan Rafferty picks his man out. It's not just that they resorted to just, let's just launch this. We need to just hope something happens here. They went about 10 kickouts.
Real brutalizing.
Yeah, I know it was.
May as well give us our third there.
Yeah, my third one's a bit rogue. It is a bit rogue. I've gone left the field here a little bit. I'd be a casual watcher of horse racing. So I've gone back to the Grand National. Patrick Mullins winning the Grand National for Willie Mullins.
Waited out.
Absolutely. Like,
were they both crying?
Yeah, they both kind of said it was their greatest achievement. Willie Mullins has achieved absolutely everything there is achieving in racing, and to see his son, who is still an amateur, obviously by name, obviously not by his quality, but the sporting achievement of it, in the sense that he had the first three home, and I think he had the fifth home as well. That was the sole reason why he went on to win the British Trainer Championship, even though the only time he really goes over is when we get over to April or March. Or March or April, but would always be a time of year where we'd watch the racing, and I felt the emotion of that day. It was,
you're a great sporting renaissance man, aren't you?
You reckon? Yeah.
Yeah, you have a lot of active knowledge there. People aren't really like that so much anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't come across many people, especially at your age of life. I find people just don't have that breath of, oh, we just watch that all the time.
Yeah, really don't really watch a whole lot else other than sports. So whatever's on.
You did casually drop in. I don't like movies.
I couldn't offer anything to a conversation about movies is more kind of how I would phrase it. But
the day is young. Daily podcast at the moment. John Duggan and Johnny Ward, the Racing Pod, every morning marking your card for Leopardstown at the moment and beyond.
Cross promotion.
Always be closing, folks. Time to close.
Yeah,
I've one left. On
go on, yeah, go for it.
Just Shane Dowling. Just the fact that he got back and got playing Championship Hurling again. It didn't all pan out, obviously, what he'd wished, but it was even though I think he's 2 years younger than me, probably 2 years younger than me, I've always had such a soft spot for him, and then to see him come back and the journey from 2019 All-Ireland semi-final to there, just astonishing. It just doesn't really happen in sport. To that degree, like, and you think, because there's definitely a part from this, like, probably always going to be a bit. He was fortunate to play such a decisive part in the first one.
Yeah,
there'll always be a part from like, geez, I could have 4 or 5 All Ireland medals, like, no question. He'd have been in that panel, no doubt about it. That gets stripped away. So to get him to come back and have some closure.
Yeah,
fair. The morning he was on with us, he was kind of great in terms of, like. Yeah.
I don't want to take up a jersey for him.
Yeah, I've done it. For him, it was. Yeah. I've always had a soft spot for him.
Yeah.
He was also clearly on the verge. It must have been like a week or two.
Oh, yeah.
Quaid
was not
going to be available. And it looks like he would have been the one to get the nod.
Yeah. It's a measure of a man. Like, it's a measure of obviously what they make of him.
Yeah.
That they kind of, because it is a specialist position now more than ever. I know he's playing club, but it's just not the same level. So yeah, it was just, it was great. I was delighted for him.
You're making me feel bad now for not picking anything to do with Kildare and Kevin Feely. His story is like recovering from a blown Achilles a couple of years ago to be the best Tailteann Cup footballer, captain of Kildare. Wasn't captain of a tie, and then they go and they stop Naismith from doing five in a row. And then obviously they come up against the might of Ballyboden in the Leinster final, but they gave a very good account of themselves.
Have you one more?
Yeah.
Just can I just jump just before? I don't know if this is going to be either of your last.
I'm done.
Is it going to be going to be mentioned? But it'd be hard to get through a year in review without kind of mentioning Katie Taylor winning her massive fight against Amanda Serrano, and then also Kate O'Connor getting her World Championship silver medal too.
Ridiculous.
Just be, I think they're just such massive achievements that it would be a shame not to just kind of give them, to acknowledge them in one way, shape or form. But
be a good, so we should do a slot with you, Jar, one time as the best years in sport that you've covered. Rank them, because 25.
I don't remember anything.
I know, we'd have to go through it with you.
But like I
we'd have to remind you honestly.
We were talking a couple of weeks ago about remember early December, the WhatsApp was going around with all the goals of the month awards, and I was saying, oh, that Arsenal team were really good. They just won the FA Cup, and you're like, no, that was 2 years previous. I was at that game.
Yeah,
and I don't remember where it was.
Yeah.
I just haven't. I have no recollection of when games are.
My final one's very brief. It's just Novak Djokovic coming back to the morality of everyone else, losing in semi-finals and admitting for the first time ever that he's just not quite good enough anymore. That the two boys are better than him, especially best of five. And then as a tagline to that, probably the most unrelatable sporting contest I watched this year was the Roland Garros final between Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner. Was like, I can't relate to this level of sport at all. This is just otherworldly. This is absolutely ridiculous what they're doing.
Forgotten about that.
I don't think I've seen two people better at their own sport at what they do all the time than those two boys that day. That was just, they were like for like. And Sinner should have won it. He had championship points. And then he got revenge in the Wimbledon final. But that's just the summer, basically. Summer of love between Alcaraz and Sinner. Ridiculous. And then kind of the slow farewell to Novak Djokovic.
Mm.
The ongoing.
Mm. Yeah, he's not gone just yet.
He is, though.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Oh, you never know. People can fall. People
he desperately wants that 25 to get ahead of Margaret Court, but he'll need one or possibly both of the boys to pull out of said Grand Slam to win it.
Well, who knows?
It's happening with Sinner anyway.
Stranger things.
A couple of times.
Yeah, stranger things have happened. Right, that is our look back at the sporting year. Now, either this is before or after our...
No, it's before. It's before. We'll go chronologically.
Okay, so tomorrow...
Yeah, sure. Now it is.
Tune in for our crystal ball where we make some outrageous predictions about what's going to happen across the world of sport. And enjoy your leftover Quality Street.
You're listening to Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show. Yeah!